text is Romans chapter 15 tonight. We're still on the subject learning properly. We're in the second part of it. And we're looking at living by the word of God. Amen. Let's just say a word of prayer tonight. Our Father, we thank you for this gathering. We are grateful for the day, week, the month so far. We're grateful for your graciousness, the love and your mercy. And we do not take it for granted. We ask tonight as we gather your people here in our heart, we will find and discover spiritual growth and development, strengthening our sense of assurance of your word, your will, and how you want us to live. That which ought to be priority, primary, in our thoughts, in our lives, in our words, in our interactions, and eventually in how we conduct ourselves, even your word. We ask you tonight, clarity in every heart, as questions are answered, directions, establishment of our thoughts, of your thoughts rather, in our hearts, is ministered by the teaching of your word. We ask that tonight, everything that needs to be said by your spirit will be said, and all that needs to be heard, to be received and to be walked in will be heard and received. We ask that this evening you will cause us to be edified, to be built up together in faith and in appreciation of your word and of your spirit. We ask this in the name of your son Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright. Romans chapter 15. So we said in verse 4, it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Hallelujah. So we have said that God has me in mind, amen, when he inspired men to write the scriptures, and he expects me to find wisdom, he expects me to find direction, he expects me to find spiritual growth, development in my walk with him in his word. Hallelujah. So we said that God wants his word to take priority. Someone say priority. God wants his word to take position number one. What affects what you say when you say it, what affects what you do when you do it, where you do it, how you go about it, why you do it. God wants our lives to be products of his word. Therefore, we must therefore endeavor to do will be to understand his word. If we do not understand his word, we cannot walk in his word. We cannot believe it. If we do not understand it, we cannot believe it. Amen. We cannot walk in it. So first of all, understanding. Turn to your understanding. We'll get into that a little bit, to learning the word properly. We'll get into that. But in James chapter 1, it should be our fourth or fifth session. I think the fourth, if I'm right. Or maybe the fifth. In James chapter 1, I took us a little bit through the text in verse 17 into 18, 19, 20, 21. It says, every good gift, we explained that last week, that a good and perfect gift has to do with the new birth. It's not talking about the material gift. It's talking about the gift of a child or of a material, of a car, of a house. It's talking about the new birth. Being born again is a gift of God, which makes the recipient to be perfect. Are we together? So it is every good gift, every perfect gift, come down from above, says from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, He says, neither shadow of turning, of his own will begat he us. So the gift has to do with the new birth. Having been born of the world, he says, to lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of nothing. Now we said that the filthiness, superfluity of nothingness has to do with the thoughts preceding God's word in our minds. Don't forget, we say Satan acts like an evangelist. He goes before the preacher to put seeds of thoughts in your mind. See 2 Timothy 4, 3, 4. Are we together? Who corroborated that with that? Satan goes ahead. Are we together? To put thoughts in the minds of people so that when the word of God comes, it will begin to conflict with their understanding. That's why when people usually say, when you hear people say, I don't understand what was taught, it is not true. The reason why they say that is because there is a thought in their minds already. There's something in the mind that what you thought at that moment seemed to be completely, I don't understand. No. There's nothing like I don't understand. Their mind has not received because they believed something else. Interestingly, what they believe could also be, you know, a scripture but wrongly explained. But sometimes it could just be thoughts that are strange to the scriptures. But the thoughts had preceded. They're going to spoil that we read last week, verse 3. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, the God of this world, rather, had blinded the mind. So God does not hide the gospel. Satan cannot hide the gospel. But Satan hides men from the gospel. Satan hides men from the gospel in their minds. He doesn't hide the gospel. God does not hide the gospel. But Satan hides he hides them away. He says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the mind. So Satan's work is not on the message. Satan's work is in the mind. Satan's work is in the mind. The work of Satan is in the minds. He says, of them which believe not. So Satan is involved in unbelief. He works in the mind to produce unbelief in God's word. Or unbelief, let me use the word towards. Unbelief towards God's word. Satan works in the mind. Now, Satan doesn't dwell in the mind. Are we together? He doesn't live in people's minds. No, it's not like maybe there's a room and part of self contained in your mind, Satan is cooking and eating. No. Are we there? Satan doesn't live in the mind, but he does his work in the mind. So how does he do it? He says, the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine on them. Now it is verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness. So that is what God does. That is what God does. There is no variableness in him. That is what he does. He brings forth light out of darkness. So it is for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. The word face there means appearance. The appearance of Jesus Christ. To give the lighting of the knowledge of the glory of God through the appearance of Jesus. Are we together? So it means what is preached as the gospel, which is he to them that are lost in verse 3, is the face of Jesus Christ. The face of Jesus Christ is the gospel. The word panim, are we together? Which is also the word prosopon. Prosopon. It has to do with face. The face. Are we together? The presence. The presence, the face of Jesus Christ has to do with the presence of Jesus Christ. He says, that is the gospel which is it. So, he knows the God of this world has blinded, verse 4, he says, the minds of them which believe not. So, what do they not believe? They do not believe the appearance of Jesus. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that gospel is the appearance of Jesus, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In the same breath, I haven't read chapter 4, Paul expects that when his readers read on, they will get into chapter 10 later on, and then in chapter 10, they'll begin to read from verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence, the same word presence there puts upon, my presence, my face, I'm based among you, but being absent and bold toward you, he says, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present, that I need not be bold when I'm present, without confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. That is, I don't need to be this harsh or strict when I'm there with you. Which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination. So you see the strongholds. Our weapon is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, Paul is taking his imagery from the Old Testament, and he's talking about the tower, so he's talking about the walls of Jericho. When he says to pull down strongholds, your mind will flash to Joshua. When the walls of Jericho were pulled down, that is where he took his illustration from. The pulling down of strongholds, the mighty walls of Jericho. So he says the same way there is a wall, a military wall, functioning, you know, as a stronghold, an obstacle that people could not pass through except by a supernatural intervention. In the same way, there is a need for supernatural interventions today if the Word of God is going to pass through minds. Are we together? So look at this. Just like Joshua and the army of Israel waiting to make a passage. Waiting to make a passage. What illustration does the Joshua 2, Joshua 3 to Joshua 10 text, what illustration does it give us? He gives us the illustration, are we together, of the 2 Thessalonians 3, amen, verse 1 and 2. Now, if you go to Second Corinthians, I see Second Thessalonians. In Second Thessalonians chapter 3, you see what Paul said in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Don't they pray for us? Pray for us. Does it require supernatural intervention? Pray for us means this requires supernatural intervention. It cannot be done through logic. It cannot be achieved through fleshly activities. It cannot be achieved through human strategies. So Paul says, the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. They are not fleshly. They are not logical. They are not sensual. He says, they are mighty through God. They are supernatural in their function. The weapons of our warfare are supernatural in their function. That means the weapons of our warfare has or works in a supernatural context. There's a supernatural context to our warfare. If you lose the supernatural context, the supernatural perception to the believer's warfare, you will fail. If you for once think that the work of God that Christians are meant to do is meant or can be approached through logic, human strategy, human resource, managerial skills of the flesh, of the mind, you will fail. Say, I do not fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, hold your hands in all those texts. All of those texts, hold your hands there. Ephesians 6. Are you there? Are you in Ephesians 6? Look at verse 10. I want us all to read together. Ephesians 6, 10. Want to go? Finally, my brethren. Be strong where? Be strong in science. That was it. Be strong in your knowledge of management. Is that what it is? Be strong in your muscles. Is that what it is? I've seen someone heftily built in his muscle come down at the power of God. And it was a kid at the end. Praise the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Someone say, in the Lord. And in the power of his might. He explains being strong. Can we take 11 together? Everyone wants to go? Put on the whole armor. That's tautology. The armor is already whole. Is it clear? Alright. So put on the armor of God. Is that supernatural? Is that supernatural? The armor of what? Of God. Now, are you having flashes of David and Goliath? You're having flashes. So look at this. It says that you may be able to what? To stand against the wiles of who? Of science? Technology? Of who? Of the devil. So the devil. Okay. Look at 10, 12 together. Once you go. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Tell anybody, say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Tell anybody, say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What is flesh and blood? What is flesh and blood? What is flesh and blood? Human logic. Flesh and blood is not talking about your erythrocytes and your epidermis. Nope. He says, we are not wrestling against natural things. Humans, no. But against what? Principalities. And against what? Powers. Against rulers of the darkness of this world. This is not talking about BAT. He's not talking about Donald Trump. Those are not the rulers of the darkness of this world. He's not talking about Elon Musk. Nope. Amen. He's talking about spirit personalities. Some of these spirit personalities. Yeah. He's talking about spirit personalities. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, spiritual wickedness is better translated as the wickedness of the spirit. The wickedness of the spirit. Or the wickedness with the spiritual. Wherefore, take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to her, to stand. Now, 14, stand therefore, having your loins guard about with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, having the shield of preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, ye shield of faith, where we shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit, the word of God, praying always all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my boldly, make known the mystery of the gospel, which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought. Praise God.
So this has to do with opposition to the gospel. Paul says it is supernatural. Oppositions to the gospel are supernatural in nature. They are supernatural in origin. They might use a natural thing. Are we together? They might use humans. They might use scenarios. Sometimes they might even use your mistakes. Yep. But look at this. They are supernatural. Satan has deposits. Some say deposits. We're going to see those deposits shortly. As it pertains to our text, our context rather, our study. So on the deposits, Satan has deposits. So we came to Ephesians 6 from which text? Second Corinthians 10. Are we together? We came from Second Thessalonians, right? Okay. Then we came to 2 Thessalonians from where? 2 Corinthians. We came to 2 Corinthians from where? 2 Corinthians 2. Okay, alright. So 2 Thessalonians 3. Are you there? Look at that. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have what? Free course. Amen. And be what? Magnified. May be glorified, rather. And be glorified. Even as it is what? With you. Do you know what it means? It means the same room and the place that you are given to the world. You are praying that others will give the same room to the world. Praise the Lord. Say the word of God starts with me. Yeah. That the word of the Lord may have free course. So, it gives you that imagery of the nation of Israel making an advancement in their journey. So they stand before Jericho. Wow. Wow. Making a free course. They leave Exodus. They are before the sea. The seas parted. And God led them through the seas, led them into the desert. And as they went on across the mountains, then they came across, they got to Jordan. Are we together? Then the Lord walked them through Jordan. And then they came, after passing through Jordan, are we together? Are we together? Then they are now faced with a wall. Praise God forevermore. They are faced with a wall. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. Faced with a wall of Jericho. So the people of God stand before Jericho. He uses that to give an illustration, an imagery of the word of the Lord needing a free course. Are we together? Are we together? So, Paul said, casting down what? Imaginations. Hallelujah. just like the wall came down supernaturally. He says there are things that are functioning like a wall in the minds of those that have not believed the gospel, and they must need to come down supernaturally. 2 Corinthians 10. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are mighty, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So it has to do with knowledge. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it has to do with knowledge. There are knowledge systems, which we said earlier in chapter 4, Satan has used to blind the minds of men who believe not the gospel. So the blindness is a work of Satan in the thoughts of men. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me show you something just passing by. You know, sometimes we're just passing by and then we just look, what's happening there? You know, we are not packing in to settle down. We're just passing by. So let's pass by a text. Let's just pass by a text. Look at 2 Corinthians. Are we together? 2 Corinthians 12. We're passing by a text. We're just passing by, okay? We're just passing by. He says in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Paul was talking about himself, okay? Whether it were in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. This text has made people say, there's first heaven, there's second heaven, there's third, there's sixth, there's seventh, there's 21 heavens. Really? What does Paul mean by third heaven? All right. Verse 3, like I said, we're passing by. Not explaining that. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Can we take verse 4 together? How he was caught up into paradise. Okay, so it says third heaven, then he mentions paradise. So is there really a third heaven? So, and had unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Verse 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities, the word weakness. Now look at verse 6, that's where we're going. He says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, rather, or that he heareth of me. Now take verse 7, everyone. Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of what? Revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, some people have used this text to say things like, Paul was saying that there is pride inside him, so God gave him leprosy. I don't know what people say. He said God gave Paul it wasn't leprosy, they said that God gave him what's our apa in English? Yes. We don't really relate to Paul. We don't relate to Paul. He said God gave him epilepsy. And he says that so that he can be humble. When
when God teaches his children, he doesn't use the devil's tools, no matter what. When he corrects his children, he doesn't use the devil's tools. Are we together? Alright. He has tools for correction. None are the devil's tools. So he said, oh, that a thorn in the flesh. Thorn in the flesh. Well, at least, I like the fact that those people do not believe that the thorn is literal. A thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. Are we together? But every time you go over the scriptures and you read thorn in the flesh, it's always referring to humans. Human beings. Yes. It's an idiomatic expression for opposition. Now don't forget, this was to Corinth. So whatever he was talking about here had happened before Acts 18. Are we together? Are we together? Uh-huh. Amen? Alright. So he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So he called the thorn in the flesh what? The messenger of Satan. Notice he's not saying the message of Satan. He says the messenger of Satan. Again, someone said, oh, that means there was a demon that was coming to trouble Paul, and it was troubling Paul, and then the demon was coming to trouble him and to give him epilepsy, you know, once in a week. He just come and service him with epilepsy once in every 2 weeks. And then he will become humble again. Anytime God sends him forth other. Ah! Because you have revelation. You are becoming to be proud. Where is this father past me? Go down to wherever. But give, he will give the demon Paul's address. And then the demon will be flying. You know, they think that he gets that wind. And he just enter Paul's house. Maybe at 1 a.m. when Paul is sleeping. He just press for. Paul wants to call Jesus. Paul will just say, Judas Iscariot. And then, you know, we just plead, Lord. Amen. So we read verse 8. It says, For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times. Someone even told me that Paul gave up. That if Paul had besought the Lord more than 3 times, the Lord would have answered him. That he might depart from me. And he said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Are we together? For my strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. That means whatsoever Paul was talking to the Lord about is something the Lord could not do anything about. I know that's a very big statement. It was something the Lord could not do anything about, but the Lord was going to strengthen Paul. Are we together? The Lord was going to strengthen Paul despite of that thing. It wasn't something the Lord could do something about. But the Lord was going to strengthen Paul. Are we there? Now you need to read the entire book of Acts, particularly from Acts chapter 13 down to Acts chapter 20. Yeah, but you can move into that 26. And if you read Acts chapter 13 to 20, 26, you will understand what this messenger of Satan, you know, has to do with, and was, you know, sent to buffet. You know, he didn't say the Lord sent it. Are we together? Are we together? I think it's the Lord sent it. But it says messenger of Satan. Now, if you are still struggling with the word Satanas, are we together? That is when a text like this will not be clear. But when you discover that Satanas has to do with opposition, oh, a messenger that brought opposition to Paul, and Paul could not do anything about it. Are we together? And it has to do with the revelation, the ministry of Paul. So, Paul had revelation. Paul had abundance of revelation in his ministry, so that, you know, he will not be received and honored by the people. A messenger of opposition was sent him to buffet him and to act like a thorn in the flesh. The book of Acts explains that as the men who went ahead of Paul to ruin the thought of other people and to incite them against Paul. You know, by the time you read Acts of Apostles, you see Paul had hardly got into a place, there would just be opera. Are we together? Before he started preaching, there would be opera again. Before he gets somewhere, sometimes Paul will leave a place, go to another,
Before he opens the mouth to preach, some people just say, ah, these guys are here again. Those guys have turned the whole world upside down. Those guys have told these people that they should abandon the don't listen to them. Before you know it, they will just cause uproar again. So that became a thorn in the flesh for his ministry. He's not talking about sickness. He was talking about men who acted in an antagonist manner. Men who acted against, they withstood his ministry and spoiled people's mind so that people would not listen to him. Again, it has to do with information, messenger of Satan. It has to do with information. Those that spread that information ahead of Paul, they are gone ahead of him to affect people's thoughts badly against Paul. He calls it the messenger of Satan. He's not talking about Satan here, the devil as we know it. He's talking about opposition, messenger or messengers of opposition. You know, that buffeted him, they stood as a thorn in the flesh in his ministry. He says, I besought the Lord, and the Lord says, well, you know, yeah, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And you have to press through this opposition. You have to press through this opposition. You have to press through the opposition. Are we together? Are we together? So it has to do with something that is supernatural, the opposition. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 12, it has to do with supernatural opposition to the Word of God. The supernatural opposition. So we say Satan acts like that, a rout of a false news. It distributes false information so that when the Word of God comes to people's mind, people will not understand. And sometimes, now, this chiefly is in the heart of the unbelievers. He says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So Satan's work is primarily done in the hearts of the unbelievers, but many times Satan also affects believers. Some say Satan affects believers. In the same 2 Corinthians 10, which you read, if you just read the next chapter, in 2 Corinthians 11, he says in verse 3, Paul says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiles Eve through his subtlety. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, go there quickly. Are you there? Let's read three together once you go. But I fear up, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Read on. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in what? In Christ. Now look at verse 4. Once you go. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, read on, or another gospel which you have not accepted. You might be, so have they accepted the gospel already? Answer me quickly. Have they accepted the gospel already? So verse 3, is he talking to believers or unbelievers? Verse 3, is he talking to believers or unbelievers? So let's read verse 3 again now. Once you go, right here, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your mind should be what? So look at this. To the unbeliever, he blinds his mind so he cannot understand the gospel or believe it. To the believer, he knows he cannot blind the mind of the believer. What does he do? He corrupts it. He corrupts it. He confuses the believer. He corrupts his mind. He corrupts his mind. So the unbeliever's mind, he blinds. So he cannot believe the gospel. But he doesn't stop there. He goes to the believer also and corrupts the believer by showing or telling the believer that the believer has to do bogus. Look at it. Paul says, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I checked that word simplicity. It means simple devotion. Corrupted from the simple devotion that is in Christ Jesus. A simple devotion. He now explains that as bringing another gospel or preaching another spirit. Are we together? Another gospel, a different kind of message. So it corrupts the believer's mind through false teachings. Amen. Not the false teachings. Yeah. False teachings. These are not true. When you study the Bible diligently, you can't find them. Human philosophies, human culture camouflaged as God's word. Take a text, twist it, and then corroborate the twisted text with many other texts that are not explained. Oh! Praise the Lord.
I say, praise the Lord. So look at that. It corrupts the believer's mind from simple devotion. Someone say simple devotion. It corrupts the believer. It will make simple things complex.
Hey!
He will make simple things complex.
Say, oh, but I thought that I am saved. Oh God, what is happening to me? Am I really saved again?
Yes.
Shows that. A simple devotion has been corrupted. Oh God, I thought I was born again. Oh, am I even born again? Oh, I didn't know I'm born again. Oh, so being born again is a process. Someone say, oh, there are 30 steps to being born again. Oh God. And the first step is believing in Christ. Jesus Christ. You have believed in Christ. Someone say, you have believed in Christ, that's all. They say, no, that's not all. How can you just say believe? Is it your belief? Someone has told us before. Told that to me before. He says you are a false teacher. You are telling people to believe, just believe. And the way she was a woman, yeah, so many years ago, the way she was calling believe, even me, I was like, is it just believe? The way she was pronouncing the belief would make me lose belief in the belief. I mean, just everything believe, just believe. Peter, we're not looking at believe. I have to snap out of it. Is it your belief? Because they will say about believes in me. Are we together? Say, what do people need to say? It's not just belief. He said, yes, you must believe. You will not commit yourself. You break yourself. You will squeeze yourself, break yourself. You will cut your head. This is Jesus. Go and ask the thief at the right hand. Just ask the thief by the right hand. Tell him to explain salvation to you. What he will tell you will be very simple. Are we together? Eh? Eh? The thief at the right hand. It's so shocking that the thief at the right side understands how to get saved more than many preachers today. We have gone to theological school. Your theological school has made you worse. Simple. Even you're dying. The person that died says, believe. Believe. Believest thou? I believe. Do you now believe? I believe. Someone says simple faith. Look at the jailer. Yeah, you know jailers, right? You know what jailers do? Prison wardens. You know what they do? You know how they extort, right? How they extort and mahandle prisoners. The jailer came after he had jailed Paul and Silas. As the miracle happened and they were set free, the guy cried out, what do I do to be saved? Paul didn't say. So you can answer that question. What did he say again? He wants to be saved. You? Does your generation look like people that can be saved? Oh, makara makasakaya sakaya. You will perish, you know. Paul did not say that. Paul did not say, oh God. Ah, Silas. Ah, God. Silas, beg me. By the grace of God that's upon my life, you will die now. He didn't say that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He now said, you and your house, the household is not even there. He says, and thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be saved. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Through what? Believing. Someone say believing. So the simplicity in Christ, Satan corrupts the mind. Hallelujah. He corrupts the mind from the simplicity. Simplicity of salvation says believe. Simplicity of spiritual growth says receive the word. Is it clear? Receive the word. Keep receiving the word. Keep taking in the word. Keep taking in the word. Keep taking in the word. Say your neighbor, say keep taking in the word. Say keep taking in the word. Say to someone, say keep taking in the word. That's the simplicity of growth. Keep taking in the word. 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 Sin has never triumphed over the word. Fear has never triumphed over the word. Hopelessness has never gone into a boxing ring with the word of God and triumph. No. Are we together? You know, light doesn't wrestle with darkness. Light triumphs over the darkness. Are we together? So, the simplicity that is in Christ, he says Satan can corrupt the mind. So get back to our text. Where did we come to 2 Corinthians from? James. Thank you. So in James 1, he says, lay aside all what? Filthiness and superfluity of what? Naughtiness. Someone say attitude in the mind. Did you see that now? So is James 1, is he talking about believers? Is he talking to believers? Yeah. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Don't forget we said that way has to do with what? His way has to do with what? That is way has to do with what? Sorry? His way. Wait. His way. Is that what superfluity of nothingness is referring to? And receive what? With what? Meekness. Yeah. So what have we said? Again, we said in Genesis 22 verse 2 to love, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, verse 5, with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. We said it means to make God's word most prized information and to treat God's word as that which demands action from us. Hallelujah. We saw the word forget it, right? Epilantanumai, right? Does it mean to lose memory or to have the memory? Have the memory. You have the memory. Have we seen paralogizomai? Oh, yes. To misreckon. The word deceiving yourself. So look at this. I asked the question last week. We said, why will I hear so much of the word and I'm not considering it? Verse 21 says, there is filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness in the mind.
Mm.
So we said, the guy who does not do the word is what? Can you answer that in a loud chorus? The guy who does not do the word is what? Hmm? Hmm? He's doing something else. Can't even pass German. Is he what?
Something else.
How do you know what German is? Is it German? What do you know? What's German? Fill in the gap, yes. If it's invasive of blood, I know that. That's our language there. I'm not sure about the schools around there. When you say German, fill in the gap.
The one who is not doing the word is what?
The one who is not thinking the word is doing what? He's thinking something else. So Joshua 1, notice that Joshua 1 is an instruction to a leader, right? Right? Psalm 1, is it an instruction to a leader? Psalm 1 is an instruction to a leader. Joshua 1 is an instruction to a leader. Where else do we see the word meditate? Sorry? What was the third text I gave you? The word meditate occurs in several places, though it occurs once in the New Testament books. It occurs once. But what was the third text I gave you? Sorry? 1 Timothy 4 what? Up? 1 Timothy 4 12. What is in that text? Go there. 1 Timothy 4 12. What is in the text? What's in 1 Timothy 4 12? Be that an example, right? Read on. Read the next text. Good. Now read verse 15, everyone. Now hold your hands in 1 Timothy 4:15. Go to Joshua 1 quickly. Are you in Joshua 1? 1 Timothy what? 4:15. You've read it, right? What is in Joshua 1? Verse 8. You didn't ask me for verse. Okay, verse 2. Oh yeah, read verse 8. What can you observe in the two texts? Yes, we said if you look at the audience were pastors, right? Right, okay. So the instructions were given to leaders, pastors, Christian leaders. Okay, but after that, what do we see in the instruction, the body of the instruction itself? What is the similarity? What is similar in those two texts? I didn't say you should write it. I say you should tell me what is similar in those two texts. Are we praying the Spirit? What I mean is, what is similar? Notice that doing is attached to what? What empowers doing? In Joshua 1, it what empowers doing? Meditation is doing attached to meditation. So do we need to do a study on meditation? Okay. So doing is attached to meditation, right? What about in 1 Timothy 4? Is doing in any way attached to meditation? Is doing attached to meditation? Okay.
Keep that somewhere. Now, in Psalm 1,
go to Psalm 1. I have just 20 more minutes.
Go to Psalm 1.
Let us read verse 1.
Blessed is the man
that walketh not in the what? In the counsel of the ungodly. Right? Right? Wait. In the what? The counsel of the ungodly. Wait. Look at this. Look at this. Notice that he didn't say, blessed is the man who does not go to the ungodly for counsel. He didn't say that. He says, who walk not in the counsel of God. Look at me, everybody. That means the counsel of the ungodly, are we together? He is with him. He has access to it. Or it flies around him. Are we together? Are we together? He is not saying, blessed is the man who did not go to consult.
Mm-mm.
He need not to go and consult. He is simply saying he makes his choice. Did you see that? The man makes his choice. I told you this session was very practical. The man made his what? His choice. Don't detach it from, look at it. Don't detach it from, he goeth his way. Is it clear? Notice he goeth his way. I told you it's not literal. Goeth his way. Is it that he took a path in Tanke Road? Where does he go his way? In the mind. The way is where? In the mind. What he just had in God's word is also where? In the mind. So you now saw forgetted, right? Right? That forgetted is not what? Loss of memory. It's refusal of what? Consideration. Did you get it? If you are just doing this session, you have a lot of work to fall back to, okay? Alright. Did you get it? So he walks not what? In the what? In the counsel of the ungodly. So does that mean that? Look at this. Look at me. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Is it likely the man is clueless as touching what is happening in the world around him? No. But he does what? He makes a decision. See, I make a decision. Are we together? See, I make a decision. So, blessed is the man who walk not in the what? In the counsel of the ungodly. Nor what? He does not take a stand. Amen? Now, the walking, what's the next thing he says? Stand in the what? Way of sinners. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there a way of sinners? A way that, is there any sinners that pass this way? Is there anything like that? So, is it literal? So, the way of sinner, is it a way by the bush that sinners pass? Sinners are the one that build the bridge. No. Are we together? What's the next thing? The seat of what? Who are these kung fu's there? This kung fu? What is my kung fu? This kung fu, look at it. It's not saying that he sits in a seat that. What he says, he does not sit where? There is no seat called seat of discomfort. Number one, who is the discomfort there? The discomfort there is what he explains by what? Ungodly. Are we there? And the ungodly is what he explains by what? sinners. So the scornful are those who scorn at God's counsel. It's not saying those who scorn at other human beings. No. But those who scorn at God's counsel. Now, when you scorn at God's counsel, are you making a choice? Are you making a choice? Are you making a choice in your mind? Are you making a choice in your mind? When you scorn at God, when the sinner scorns at God's word, is he making a choice in his mind? Yes. So, blessed is the man that does what? That walk not in the what? In the what? In the counsel of the ungodly. Is that information? Is that information? Is that conviction? Is that knowledge? Nor what? Take a stand in the way. Way is described as the will, the desire. The desire. It's the same way what God said about Israel, that they do not know my ways. They knew God's heart, they didn't know his ways. It has to do with his will, his desires. So the way of sinners has to do with their methods. Amen? Their methods. Their style. Their methods. The way of sinners has to do with their methods. Their judgments. Their style. Their thought pattern. Their methods. Their methods. In the way of sinners has to do with their methods. Their methods, their judgment, their counsel. The way they think. Their motivations. The way they think. The way they see things. The way they see things. The way they think. The way they approach things. Their motivations. Their inspirations. Their styles. Their methods is the way of sinners. The way of sinners, the methods of those who will not do what God wants. Nor what? Seeds in the seeds of what? Of the scornful. Notice that the person the psalm was addressing was on a seat. Are we together? Was a king. So he will not sit in the seat of the scornful. It means that the word sit there has to do with function. 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 So he does not call smart what they call smart. Perceptions differ. Say my perceptions are different. My perceptions are different. Praise the Lord. So, it was in walk in the counsel of the ungodly. To walk. To conduct yourself. He doesn't stand in the way. He doesn't take a stand in the way of the sinners. That is not who he is. He doesn't sit. He doesn't take his position amidst those who scorn at God's counsel. When the word of God is clear, it doesn't pitch against it. I'm vulnerable to the word. But it's the light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is that what the next verse is? Is what? Is the light. What is the light? What is the light? The light has to do with what you treasure.
what you treasure. What you treasure is the light. What you rejoice at what makes you happy. I'm happy when I act on the word. I might not get a gain, but when I act on the word, I'm happy. Is the light, is joy. What brings you joy? What makes you to feel fulfilled? What makes you feel fulfilled? What makes you to feel fulfilled? What makes you proud? What makes you proud? What makes you feel fulfilled? What gives you confidence? Your delight, His delight, is in the law of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In which you what? Meditate. Hagar. In which he meditates, how often? Consistently. That's what day and night. It doesn't mean 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. It means every time. In fact, day and night in scripture naturally speaks of that time of the day, evening and morning, but the significance of day and night is used for the seasons of life. The seasons of life. What do I mean by the seasons of life? It's like a source of knowledge for you. A bank of wisdom for you. It functions like your bank account. That when you need money, where do you go? You open your bank app. Isn't it? Open. Abby? You open it. You need to get food at the market. You open your bank app. Right? Right? What about gas? You fill your gas. What do? You open your bank app. You want to pay for a bill? You open your bank app. Sometimes you want to recharge your phone. Now you do what? You go to your bank app. Data bank app. So you go to cash out what you need. God's word, you cash out knowledge and insight for living. I go to make a download. Like worldlifebelieverscommunity.org. You go to download. What has been taught about healing, you go there to download. He says his delight is in the law of the Lord. Wherein he meditates in every season of life. What are the seasons of life again? What are the seasons of life? When there is good health, right? 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 Glory to God. When there's what? 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 Good health. When you are in good health. When you are, when you don't have what? When you don't have what? Good health. Now see, what is there to meditate on in God's word when I have good health? Sometimes, the reason why bad health comes is because you are not meditating on the good health. I didn't say God brings bad health to get you to meditate on good health. No. the reason. When you lose consciousness of the good things, Satan will visit you with trouble. Did you know that meditating on the good keeps trouble away? And when trouble actually comes, meditating on the good takes it away. It is both preventive and redemptive when you meditate on good things. Praise God. I say, praise God. Praise God. Look at Psalm. Take it. Look at Psalm. Are we there? Look at Psalm 38. I hope it's the text. Psalm 38. Hallelujah. Psalm 38, verse 12. Was it? The what? I what? They imagine this it, right? Look at Psalm 73. That's not the text. I can check it. Psalm 63 verse 6. I'm looking for meditate on your righteousness. Psalm 63 verse 6. What's there? When I meditate on what? D upon what? No. What is the text D? Good. Now look at 71. Verse 24. Going back to the text. Hallelujah. Psalm 71, verse 24. Take it again. My what? My tongue also shall what? Talk of thy what? All the day long. Look at 77 verse 12. What is there? I will meditate on what? All thy what? All thy what? And talk of thy deeds. Someone say all his works. I will meditate on all thy works. I've still not found my text. Look at 37. 37 verse 30. Can we read once you go? Look at 115. I've not found the text. 115. Verse 7. Read. No. Look at Psalm 35. Have you read 35? Verse 38. I think that is will and his praise. Let's read. My tongue shall what? Speak of your what? Righteousness. Oh, I know what is happening. Those were all my texts. The word speak there is the word meditate. That's what I wanted to show you. It is the word Hagar. We're coming back to it. Now,
The writer said, I will speak, my tongue will do what? Will speak of thy what? Of thy righteousness. My tongue will speak of your works. Glory to God forevermore. That means God wants us to meditate on his righteousness in our lives. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you this year? Was he good to you in 2024? Was he good to you in 2023? Was there any time God was good to you in the last 10 years? So look at this. Look at it. The knowledge of God's goodness. Now, has there been any time God has been good to you in the last 1, 2, 3 years? Have you had miracles? No. Answer me consciously and deliberately. Have you had miracles? Has God come to in an area and you feel like, wow, thank you, Lord? Has there been? Now, if I give you some minutes to tell us what it is, will you have things to say? Oh, that means that memory is in your head now. Why do you complain? That complaint is superficial of nothingness that you choose. Despite the presence of God's goodness in your mind, you choose not a good moment to complain about it. It is not loss of memory. That's what it means. Epilantanomai. It means to not consider it. The information is in your mind. Is it clear? The information is in your mind. It is there. The reason to complain is also there with it. But you chose the reason to complain. So he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the law of the Lord, which he meditates day and night. He has both. But he chooses. Now let's answer a question before we move further. Because I want to close now. It's already past 8. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? Let's ask a question. We said in Joshua 1, is there a connection between doing and meditating? 1 Timothy 4:15, is there a connection between doing and meditating? Now in the Psalm 1 text, what does the meditation lead to? What does it lead to? What does the meditation lead to? You won't see it in verse 3. You will only discover the why or the how in verse 3. Notice that the verse 3 is the reason for verse 1 and 2. Did you notice that? Look into your Bible, please. Did you notice that? That the verse 3 is the reason for verse what? 1 and 2. So the things that meditated on the law of the Lord, amen, produce is what? The not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Did you see that? Nor stand in the way of sinners. Nor what? Sit in the seat of scornful. Now, so he meditates on the word of God how often? Day and night. What does day and night mean? In all the seasons of what? Of life. Now look at me. Look at me quickly. Look at me. Look at something. A king. I told you that psalm is directed to David the king. A king said, I do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He's talking about other things. A king said, I do not stand in the way of sinners. He's talking about how others went about their rulership affairs. A king is saying, I do not sit in the seat of the scornful. He's talking about how fleshly wisdom gets into governance. Are we together? Are we together? How men with privileges abuse their privileges because of the way the world thinks. The way of the ungodly, the counsel of sinners, the seat of the scornful, is that similar to what Moses was warning Israel of what to beware when they are choosing the king? Thank you. Did you see that? So David is saying that the power behind acting on God's plan is meditating on the word in all the seasons of our life. Is it clear? So don't forget how we started. Great moments and what? Not so great moments. What ought to have priority, consistency, that our life and our thoughts has to be built upon is what? The word of God. In all seasons of life, I've got the word of God. In all seasons of life, in all seasons of life, I've got the word. All seasons of life, 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 I've got the word. Did God have you in mind when He made the writers to write? Thank you. All seasons of life. All seasons of life. The word of God. The word of God. The word of God. The word of God. Soaked in the word. The word of God. Filled with the word. The word of God. 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 All things of life. The word of God is helping me. The word of God is helping me. The word of God is painting the pictures in my mind. Don't let the world paint the picture. Before me, closing, I not even got into my thoughts this evening, but it's fine. Don't let the world paint the picture. Well, I've learned my lesson. I didn't know these are human beings. Don't let people paint the picture. I'm not going to trust any man again. Last man I trusted with my heart, he told me he was going to marry me, and then he just jilted me. I'm not going to trust again. Any time, any man, see, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket again. I'm going to find a way around it. Like, I'll be dating two people. If one fuck up, I'll pick the other. Don't let the world paint the picture. Don't let the world paint the picture. There are times when you look at Satan and then you say, Satan, I deny you. I deny you the right to paint that picture for me. Satan, I deny you the right to write for me. You won't write on it. You won't write on my mind. This word has nothing in me. You will not write, you will not paint the picture. I deny you the privilege to paint that picture of hopelessness, of fear, of defeat, of sickness, of going through life without having something substantial to say I'm achieving, of blindness as deny you painting that picture. Get out from here, you devil. You are an opposer. You always oppose the truth. I deny you the right to paint that picture of defeat. I deny you because you know the pictures are your meditations. Ensure the word of God is painting the picture. Ensure the word of God is painting the picture. You mustn't give devil the chance to paint the picture. No, this place I ain't the board for you to paint. Who gave you crayon? Give it to me. Give me the marker. Give me the paintbrushes. Give it to me. I'm a house built on the rock, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He paints the picture. He writes the script. My life is already written in the scriptures. I read and I see myself. He says, he that looks into the law of perfect liberty. He says, and continues looking. He says, the same is blessed. He says, that man is like a man that behold his natural face in the glass. That means the word of God is my mirror. My life is already painted in God's word. The way it will be is already spoken of God's word. God has spoken about me. The word of God has gone ahead of my life. I will not be defeated. The word of God has gone before me. The grace of God has been poured over me. It has been poured upon me. The strength and the might of the Spirit of God has been poured all over me. I have the grace of God. I am helped of God. I will never be defeated. I will never be surmounted. It doesn't matter what others, even in my natural lineage, in my family, down the generations, have tried to achieve and has not been able to achieve. God is writing my story. And I'm looking at it every day. Every day, I'm walking in victory. Over the flesh, over habits, over weaknesses, over failures, over experiences that are wrong, over the works of Satan, over the works of the flesh, over the tries, the efforts of the enemy. I am walking in victory in the name of the Son of God. I know who I am. Hallelujah. I know who I am. I meditate on who I am. The Bible says the righteous is bold as a lion. I am bold. I'm not feeble through life. I'm not weak through life. I'm not fearful through life. I am bold. I am courageous. I have the grace of God. When the enemy shows up with fake pictures, because that is what they are, I show him the right picture. There is no greater effort. There is no greater response. There is no greater victory to the lie than to show him the truth. There is no greater way to combat lies than to show evidence of the truth. They show evidence of the truth. It's your evidence of the truth. I say, oh, I didn't do this. I didn't say it. Then you play in the recording. Or you show in the CCTV. You said this. You picked this. You did this. There is no greater. There's no greater victory against the lie, against falsehood, than to show the truth. When it comes with a lie, you don't take the lie and meditate on it. You don't take the lie and review it. You don't take the lie and check it out. You don't take the lie and negotiate with it. You show him the truth. How do you show the enemy the truth? through meditation. That is why I walk you through the text in Psalms. Check your confidence in where you get that. The same word speaketh that you saw in those Psalms is the same word meditate. It means meditation is actually spoken words. We've seen meditation as the thoughts of our minds, what you think upon. Well, meditation is actually what you say. Because it is not enough to think about the right things. You have to say it. Are we together, church? You have to say it. So Joshua was going to say the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Oh, thou shalt say it day and night. Did you see that? So how about change the word meditate to the word say? Thou shalt say it day and night. Then thou shalt observe to do, because saying empowers doing. Oh, according to what is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy prosperous, thou shalt have good success. Blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, which he says day and night. Say, you have to say it. You have to say the word. As we say the word, we are empowering ourselves to do the word. So lay aside all superfluity of nothingness. Filthiness, superfluity of nothingness has to do with what you have been saying. Is it clear? What you have been saying. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness has to do with what you have been saying. What you say to yourself. What you say to your disciples. What you say about yourself. What you say concerning yourself to another. What you say. Say, Lord, you have my mouth. The word of God has my mouth. Meditating on the word means to say the word always. To yourself. About yourself. Concerning yourself. And unto others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're looking at learning properly. See the place of meditation in our next meeting. Let's just pray for ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I don't allow the enemy to paint the wrong pictures. No, I don't. When it comes to thoughts, to words, I put up your word in my heart. When it comes to thoughts, to words, and experiences, oh Lord, I put up your word. Lord, I put up your word. I say I am what the world say I am. I'm what the world desire. Put up your word. Put up your word. What you say about me is true in your word. I think of a sin. Lord, I put up your word. Put up your word. So when it comes with life, oh Lord, I put up your word. I put up your word. I put up your word. Lord, I put up your word. I put up your word. I put up your word. Emboldened by your word. Emboldened by it. And by your spirit. I put up your word.
I put up your word. I put up your word. Oh, I put up your word. Through the seasons of life, I let you look at your word. I put up your word. I put up your word. Like a sheep that is buried out of the enemy upon my life. Oh, Lord, I put up your word. 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 Oh, I put up your word. 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 Oh, Lord, I put up your word. I put up your word. Jesus, I put up your word. Oh, 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 I put up your word. Jesus, I put up your word. Here and now, every season, every time, I put up your word. I put up your word. I put up your word. Oh, Jesus, I put up your word. Oh, I put up your word.
Put it on me like a shield.
Oh, yeah, I put up your word. I put your word. Oh, Jesus, I put up your word. I put up your word.
In good health, in bad health, times of lack, scarcity, abundance.
Oh, Jesus, I put up, I put up your word. Oh, Jesus, I put up your word. I put up your word.
Keep your word in my heart, in my tongue, in my life.
Oh, Jesus, I put up your word. Oh, Jesus, I put up your word. Jesus, I put up your word. Jesus, I put up your word.
Put up your word. Put up your word. And I receive it up. Oh, I put up your word.